Now I'd like to ask Maureen to please unmute and read our workshop opening.
Hi, I'm Maureen. When I first consider reaching out to others, I might hesitate. Didn't I come to Al-Anon to focus on my individual experience, to seek my own recovery? Wouldn't contributing to the common good just divert me from personal progress? After finally learning to focus on myself, wouldn't helping others distract me from that goal? In helping others, we drop any pretense that I alone am in charge of my separate recovery. We acknowledge the common bond that unites us in the program, and we take steps, however halting and uneven, to align ourselves with the guidance of a higher power. Passing on the guidance we have received, we learn a new humility. Still, we might find the concept of doing service daunting, difficult, or frightening. The word itself has as much as, or has much appeal as duty, responsibility, commitment, or work. The thought of participating in any activity may call up our worst fears of experiencing all over again the criticism, embarrassment, frustration, and even despair we have known in the past. Service and recovery are not independent of each other. Both are part of the spiritual awakening that continues to guide us. The more willing we become to practice all of this program, the more progress we can make in recovering from the effects of another's alcoholism and in living our lives more fully. What we may not notice beyond our fears is that Al-Anon, what we may not notice beyond our fears is that Al-Anon gives us a chance to do either just a little or a lot. At first, we may experience some discomfort, but we can go at a pace that doesn't leave us overwhelmed. As we progress, we begin to notice the other side of service. We are learning and growing at an extraordinary pace. This is from When I Got Busy, I Got Better, pages 1 through 2, and the copyright is Al-Anon Family Groups, headquarters in 1994.
Thank you. And last I've asked Ricky to please read the lesson bridge on page 24 from the booklet, When I Got Busy, I Got Better. Please unmute.
I hit. Hi, I'm Ricky. I'm a shy person. When my sponsor suggested volunteering for telephone service in our district, my first thought was, I couldn't do that. I've always found it hard to open up to others, and I've often felt intimidated by outgoing people. Besides, I thought, what could I possibly have to say that could help someone? After some discussion with my sponsor, I decided to take her suggestion and volunteer. I mainly gave callers a brief outline of the Al-Anon program and told them where the meetings were held. After a few weeks of routine calls, however, I was awakened in the middle of the night by a call from a young woman who was very upset and angry. We talked a long time. At the end of the conversation, she thanked me sincerely for my support, and I thanked her too. Before I went back to bed, I prayed for this caller and thanked my higher power for giving me the words to help her. The next week, I happened to see the late night caller at a meeting. I decided to approach her afterwards, even though I felt shy. When I introduced myself, she smiled and hugged me. She was glad to meet me, and we talked for a while. As I drove home, I realized my higher power had given me the courage to make the first effort at a friendship. I was amazed that I'd helped her with a few encouraging words and a simple willingness to listen. Once again, I had let my higher power work through me. I also understood what other Al-Anon members meant when they say, to keep it, you have to give it away. Now I know the rewards of helping someone else without telling them what to do. Now, whenever somebody calls, I say, thank you, because I feel glad to be helping with recovery, even in a small way. Discovering that I can do something to help has increased my confidence and self-esteem. For the little I have given, I have received a rich reward. I ask myself, what can I say to help someone? From When I Got Busy, I Got Better, page 24, copyright Al-Anon Family Groups, 1994.
Thank you. Each of our panelists will share for 15 minutes, and the rest of the time will be used for your questions and possibly brief shares. Remember, any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of the Arizona area or Al-Anon as a whole. Now I'm very happy to introduce our first speaker in our first workshop, Beth.
Hi, my name is Beth, and I'm a very grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and Al-Anon. Service has always been big for me. My first Al-Anon group was three newcomers, period. When there's only three of you, everybody does service and everybody shares. Otherwise, how do you fill up an hour? You know, when I did finally, after about 8 months, leave Death Valley and go to Flagstaff, where there was real Al-Anon, it was like a whole new world opening. And I did step back and no longer serve per se, because I just felt totally like a beginner, which I was, because without guidance from people who had more recovery than I did, I didn't get a whole lot of recovery. But I was lucky enough to get involved with my first sponsor, who was somebody who did service and who insisted that I get into service also. And it's always been a real big thing for me. Now, the beginning of this reading about being shy, everybody who knows me is going to shake their head and go, not Beth. The thing is, my insides do not match what everybody sees as my outsides. As a child, I was trained to never, under any circumstances, to show fear. You know, and what happened growing up is that I discovered very young I couldn't please the person I wanted to please. And I did this transition in my head of being more than willing to settle for acknowledgement of my existence. And the only way I could get that acknowledgement was to piss him off. You know, if he was yelling at me, if he was taking the belt to me, if whatever, he was acknowledging that I existed. So even though I was extremely fearful and quaking on the inside, outside I was extremely confrontational. You know, and you know, you cornered me, or I felt cornered. You might not be cornering me. That doesn't mean I didn't feel cornered. My immediate emotional translation was to come out swinging. And so people look at how I present to the world, and they don't realize that I've got a lot more recovery now, always consumed with fear and always doing this instant translation emotionally to rage and anger. That was the only thing I knew to do. And it, by the time I was an adult, it was automatic. You know, the rage and the anger gave me the adrenaline to be out there, to get out of bed, and enabled me to face the world. So coming into program, one of the first things I started to work on was backing off of that. And, you know, I still, you know, 2.5 decades later, I still do not know how to show fear. But I do know how to talk about it now, and I can acknowledge it. I just, you know, people never look at me and say, she's scared to death. I know I'm scared to death, but my insides don't match my outside. But doing service work, you know, my original service work was getting to the meeting early and setting out the brochures. And I tend to have a little bit of OCD, so everything had to be very neat and precise and lined up, and, you know, the stacks exactly even. The books had to be in a specific order. And those of you who are in my home group know I still do that when we're meeting face-to-face. I always rearrange the book table. You know, the three daily readers have to be together. Then it has to be how it works and fast recovery. You know, it my home group lets me do it. They just, okay, that's Beth. I try not to do it in other groups. But that's always, you know, I had to be of service because I had to earn my way. You know, if I wasn't earning my way, you might not want me to come back. And Al-Anon was the first place that anybody said, keep coming back. Al-Anon was the first place that when I walked into the room, people smiled at me in like happy smiles that they were glad to see me. Nobody had ever been glad to see me before in my life. You know, not until I started coming to Al-Anon and started to get a grip on some of my character defects. And most of my character defects, you know, yes, I learned what they were in working the steps. But as far as being able to start practicing the opposite behaviors, so that God would know I was willing to have them taken away and removed. Service provided that outlet because it enabled me to start learning how to give you the same respect that you gave me. You know, when I shared it in a meeting, you didn't shut me up. You didn't tell me I didn't know what I was talking about. You listened respectfully. And so my first hesitant steps were doing that to you around the tables. I could keep my mouth shut and actually listen. You know, I learned to set the literature out. Eventually, I became a group rep. You know, and that started teaching me even more how to treat others with respect. Seeing how an assembly worked, oh my God, how eye-opening was that? And that's where I started to hear, because I was scared to death I was going to screw it up. I was absolutely going to destroy Al-Anon. Because you would put me in charge of something and I had to report back to my group and tell you all about it, and I had to vote correctly. And if I did it wrong, I would break Al-Anon. And you guys taught me I couldn't. I wasn't that powerful. And that was such a blessing to be able to let go of that sense of over-responsibility. I did still have this this thing. If I saw a vacuum in leadership, I felt that it was necessary that I step forward and jump in. And that's how I ended up being district rep for a while in Yuma. I was very pleased when that was over with, but it did teach me a whole lot about, again, respect for others, and I can't break it. You know, doing service work, you know, and working with others, it reminds me about detachment. If somebody reaches out to me for help, you know, sponsorship, I'm God, I've had five women reach out to me this last year and ask me to, well, one of them I've been sponsoring for 3 years now. The other four within the last year, year and a half have reached out to me and asked me, so I'm sponsoring five people now. And I'm going, oh my God, how did that happen? You know, and it's because of service work, you know, because it's mellowed me out to the point where I can share my experience, strength, and hope without trying to control you. You know, I can detach and just say, hey, this worked for me. When I tell you, this worked for me, it's a tool that Al-Anon's taught me. I hear it again, and it reminds me to get out of the craziness in my own head, stop that squirrel cage, and start picking up those tools that I'm telling you about. I don't know how to do Al-Anon without trying to be of service in one way or another. It's just part of the whole deal for me. Currently, I am the LDC coordinator for Yuma County, Yuma District 7. You know, when I was in high school and growing up, I wanted to grow up to be a librarian. And now that I'm retired, I get to be in charge of Yuma's Al-Anon Library and sell books and keep them in perfect order on the shelves. And, you know, I can actually use my OCD as a good thing. You know, and service has taught me that what I used to always consider character defects, at the core, there is a characteristic. And if I can keep that characteristic in balance, I can use it as an asset. And I can use it to be of service to my Al-Anon family and to other people in my life. And, you know, I know I've got about 2.5 more minutes, but I've about trucked out, so I'm going to stop.
Thank you. Great talk. Everyone, don't forget to send your questions to our moderator, Mike, in private chat. Next, I would like to introduce Lori. Lori, please unmute and share.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lori, and I am a grateful Al-Anon member. I would like to thank all of you for being here tonight. And thank you, Kay and the Arizona Area Group, for offering me the opportunity to be of service and be one of the speakers for tonight's meeting. I would like to begin by reading a reading that has a lot of meaning to me from Hope for Today, page 248, September 4th. Once I was diagnosed with a stress fracture in my foot, I had already been handicapped for 20 years. Needless to say, having a fractured foot posed many problems because it was severely painful and even dangerous for me to walk. I ended up stuck alone in my apartment during a severe snowstorm and unable to go to meetings. It wasn't surprising that I fell back into my old attitudes, mainly self-pity. I like to be coddled and pampered when I'm sick, and my friends and family members weren't reading my mind and meeting my expectations. I'm usually a very independent woman with good creative problem-solving skills. However, when I'm mirrored in negative thinking, I become a different person. As all things do, this too passed. My foot healed, and I was able to get back to my meetings. When I did, I asked myself, do you take note when others are sick and offer them the same attention you crave? My answer was no, and I promptly asked my higher power for an opportunity to practice Let It Begin with me. Within weeks, two neighbors had surgery. I didn't wish for either of them to be ill, yet I was gladdened by the promptness God displayed in answering my request. Here was my chance. Funny thing is, by nurturing my neighbors, asking if they needed anything more or anything from the store or calling to check on them, I felt as though I was nurturing myself. I guess what they say about Al-Anon is true. I often get back more than I give. Stop for the day. I've heard it said that to keep this program, I have to give it away. When I give it away, I'm also giving it to myself. And the quote, joy and peace of mind are among the rewards we seek when we decide to let it begin with me. From To Survival to Recovery, page 95. I was looking on Facebook one day when I was super miserable and super depressed. And lo and behold, a post showed up in my feed that was about Al-Anon. I had gone to Al-Anon a few times in early recovery and felt it wasn't for me and quit going. But thought, what the heck, I might find a way to help my boyfriend. So I went and checked it out. I wanted to help my boyfriend get sober. That was the bottom line. That evening, I went on the site and posted my first post. That was almost 3 years ago. I had been with my boyfriend for 1 year at that time. Now we've been together for 4 years. I began going to online Al-Anon meetings and found a group that I called my home group. I went faithfully to the meeting, and about a month after I started in Al-Anon, the chair of that meeting started the meeting by sharing that she is no longer able to chair the meeting and is looking for someone to be of service. I thought there is no way that I could do it because I barely had been in the program for 30 days. And I was so frightened that the meeting that I had grown to love wasn't going to be around anymore. So I sent the chair a message after the meeting. I said, what is the requirements to chair for this group? She said, I don't know, but I will get back to you. I said, okay. And I told her that I have only been here for about 30 days. I also told her that I have worked the first 3 steps of Al-Anon. A day or two later, she messaged me and said that the group would love to have me on board and that she would let the trainer know so that I could get trained and that she will send me the information that I will need. A couple days later, the trainer reached out to me and we set a time and date to begin learning how to chair an online meeting. I was so nervous, but the trainer guided me and gave me lots of support. I was trained and ready to begin being of service. I was super excited. I held that position for almost 2 years, give or take, but then my life got way too busy and I needed to ask the same thing. And someone volunteered to be trained and began chairing it. That same meeting is currently looking for a chair. I have current service positions. I have different positions in 2 different groups at this time. I'm a founder of an online group. For a few more weeks, I will be chairing a meeting in the other one that I am a part of, that I'm a trusted servant for. And when my term ends in that group, I am planning to chair in the group that I'm a founder for again, if there is enough interest. I am also an alt group representative of one of the Al-Anon groups I belong to. I actually have been in service the entire time, minus 30 days to get back on track a few months ago, because I had lost my way and was not able to be of use to anyone. I am grateful for that break. It helped me to get back to where I needed to be. Thanks to my sponsor, my wonderful freaking sponsor. If it wasn't for that, I would not have done that. I wouldn't have been able to do that. So I'm very, very grateful. The online group that I am a founder in has been a lot of work, and in a little over a year, it has grown from 12 members to over 780. I never knew it would be so much work, but it is worth it. To even help one other member makes it all worth it to me. The quote, to keep it, you have to give it away. My sponsors took the time out of their busy lives to take me through the 12 steps of Al-Anon, and I will always be grateful to them for that. I have had a few sponsors, and I also do have a service sponsor. And I also have sponsees, and I do give back what was so freely given to me. I understand what others meant by, to keep it, you have to give it away. I do know the rewards of helping someone else without giving advice, which I had no idea how to do that when I got to Al-Anon. But by giving my own experience, strength, and hope, I now feel and believe that I have something to give back to others. This program was freely given to me, and I do my best to do the same when anyone asks me for help or to sponsor them. I enjoy giving back today, not to get the rewards, but to remember where I came from. If I don't continue to give back, I may fall short and end up just as miserable and depressed as I was on October 20th, 2017, when I came into this program. Anytime I am able to be of service, I always say, thank you for allowing me to be of service, because I do feel glad to be helping others, even if it's in a small way. I used to think I could never help anyone else due to my lack of self-confidence and low self-esteem. By being of service, I got many rewards I believed weren't possible. I must always be willing, open-minded, and ready to serve, give back to newcomers and old-timers alike what was so freely given to me. Once I became of service, everyone in the group was ever so helpful. Members, other trusted servants, showed support by attending meetings. They were supportive by making sure I knew I never had to be alone again. Sayings like, keep coming back, you're worth it, helped me to build up my self-confidence and self-esteem. Also, they would say, if you need anything, just reach out. We are always here for you. But most importantly, they loved me where I couldn't love myself. I owe my life to this program. Some of the rewards I have received through being of service are, and this is just a couple examples because I'm probably running out of time. My life was unmanageable when I came into Al-Anon, extremely unmanageable. And through service, that was turned into motivation with the help of my higher power, my sponsors, members, trusted servants and sponsees, and some of my family members as well. All of them have helped me far more than I could have ever imagined. I didn't know I was getting emotional. Sorry, guys. I didn't know how to listen to others without jumping in before Al-Anon. By listening to others, it helps give them hope, just like it does for me when I'm listened to. By being open-minded and honest, I have found the rewards of understanding and compassion. The very best part is when someone that reached out to me, when I get to experience them finding some serenity and peace of mind in their own lives and watch their light bulbs come on. And then after that happens, seeing them pay it forward and watch them use the quote, to keep it, you have to give it away, in their own lives by becoming sponsors themselves is a beautiful thing to be a part of. I am grateful to get to witness these things the most. Thank you for asking me to be of service tonight, and everyone have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Great job. I'm so glad that you were able to be here. Everyone, please, if you have any questions for Lori, send them to our moderator, Mike, in private chat. And our final speaker for tonight is Diane. Please unmute and share.
Hi, everyone. I'm Diane, a grateful member of Al-Anon since May 10th of 2010. And I know that's my anniversary date because that's the day I bought my ODAT. And I wrote the date in it. I had been attending Al-Anon meetings since January that year, but it wasn't until May that I finally realized I needed to commit myself to work in this program if I was going to have any chance at recovery. I'm a joiner, so once I commit to something, I'm kind of all in. So the very first thing I did was attend a business meeting at Friday Night Beginners, because that's the meeting I had been going to, and I got my first service position. I was doing room setup, and the service positions were all 6-month commitments, so I figured I could, you know, commit to something for 6 months. I also picked setup because then I knew it would make me come every week because the chairs have to get set up. I got my first sponsor in September of 2010, and she had me start attending 2 Al-Anon meetings and an open AA speaker meeting every week. So because of that, I took on a greeter position at the other Al-Anon meeting I started attending. At Friday Night Beginners, which I considered my home group, I continued to take on different service positions every 6 months. I was greeter, secretary, treasurer, literature coordinator. Those are just a few things. At one point, I ended up treasurer for a whole year because nobody else would take it. And we finally got somebody to take it, but you know, that happens sometimes. In 2012, my sponsor started mentioning to me and one of her other sponsees that it would be a really good idea for the two of us to offer to be GR and alt GR for the Friday night beginners when that came up. We were kind of being voluntold. That sponsee and I had been prayer partners for a year, so we knew each other pretty well. And we talked about it, and based on our individual personalities, she agreed she'd be the alt GR and I would be the GR because she definitely didn't want to get up and talk, and she definitely liked organizing everything and making everything neat, and she wanted to do that with all our stuff for the meeting. At that time, all I really knew about the GR position was that you had to run the business meetings and make sure all the service positions got filled, or else you were kind of running around helping do everything. I'd not seen a service manual. I didn't even know a service manual existed. I quickly learned I would need to ask a lot of questions from the longtime Al-Anon members to even understand the role of group representative. The chaos of my life with an alcoholic addict son and the fear that something bad would happen had really kept me from making any long-term commitments. However, with 3 years of Al-Anon, I had enough recovery to know that things would be okay. I would be okay. And so standing for a 3-year GR commitment was possible. I grew a lot personally in the GR position, learning how to let each member have a voice in business meetings, but not let one person intimidate or boss the rest. That was quite a challenge. Talking things over with my sponsor and reading the service manual was helpful. I also learned that the minority opinion has the right to be heard, but not the right to be right. And so I would keep that in my head when I was hearing minority opinion that was usually one outspoken person who tried to, you know, make everybody else do it their way. I also talked to other GRs at assembly and I got more insights that way. You've probably heard others say this, but by the time I got to the third year of that commitment, I finally felt like I knew what I was doing. And then, you know, you give it up. Being a GR, I learned the importance of taking the group's voice to assembly. After participating in the 2-day assembly, voting on the next area officers and the delegate to represent Arizona, I learned how the communication flow was set to work and how Al-Anon decisions are made. Everything really started to click for me. Even though I was no longer a GR, I continued to attend assembly as an interested Al-Anon. As a GR, I had begun attending the District 13 meetings, and I decided to run for the alternate district rep position. I purposely took on that role so that I could see the position of the district representative and what it really entailed. At that point, the only person I told of my interest was my sponsor, because I didn't want anybody else to try and pressure me into it. And, you know, my sponsor's the safe person to tell. At about that same time, I had become an Al-Anon member involved in Alateen service and EMEAS, and I really wanted to make sure I wasn't taking on too much if I decided to be a DR. In the fall of 2018, it was time to decide what was next, and I took on 3 new 3-year service positions beginning January of 2019. So currently, I'm the GR for Friday Night Friends in Tempe. I'm the District 13 representative, and at the area level, I serve as the area Alateen process person. I decided I could do all 3 of these by praying, consulting with my sponsor, and talking with the people that had previously held these positions. My logic was that as a DR, I was going to be attending the Area World Service Committee meeting anyway, so it was okay to take on an area sub-coordinator position because the DR votes, but the sub-coordinator doesn't vote. So only one vote, that's good. And then I offered to be the GR for Friday Night Friends because we needed rotational leadership. And it's a pretty small meeting. And so the people that were there I had already served quite a few times, and I was the newest, so I offered to do that. And I knew I'd be attending assembly because of the area and the district, but only GRs voted assembly. So I can wear that hat at assembly and I can vote there. And there was no overlap. Right now we're at the end of the second year of these 3-year commitments. And yes, I'm finally getting the hang of these service positions. I've learned there are many knowledgeable and helpful people in Al-Anon, and all I have to do is ask. The safety of Al-Anon, you know, what we hear like, let there be no gossip or criticism in our closing, or on the just for today, it says criticize not one bit. That whole atmosphere makes it possible for me to make mistakes and get genuine feedback and support. And I don't have to feel like a failure. I can learn and I can grow. To me, that's a really healthy environment. I wish all of life was like this, and I wish workplace was like this, but at least I have Al-Anon a lot. I suppose I participate extensively in service for a variety of reasons. Service keeps me involved and helps me grow personally. It allows me to be part of Al-Anon and not a person on the sidelines. Service is also the way to give back to the Al-Anon program that truly gave me back my life. Each service position gives me the opportunity to learn more about Al-Anon. And the more I learn, the more committed I become, because I want Al-Anon to be around forever. I want other people to get that same opportunity that I had to find recovery and to achieve the serenity that comes from working the Al-Anon program. It really takes a lot of people to keep meetings going, district serving, the area functioning. And I want to be as helpful as I can in supporting Al-Anon, because it was there for me when I was desperate and when my life was unmanageable. I also believe that others will follow my example. If they see I'm happy, joyous, and free because I'm giving back to the program, maybe they'll volunteer too. When I ask my sponsees to help with an event or take on a service position, they know I'm going to be right there beside them. And helping in Al-Anon is a lot better than enabling my loved one in his disease. So it's kind of a trade-off. I've spoken mostly about my service within the structure of group and district and area, but there's other opportunities for service. District 13 is one of the districts that makes up the East Valley Information Center. The East Valley Information Center is an Al-Anon information service and a literature distribution center. EVIC is run by Al-Anon volunteers. Someone has to order the literature, someone has to manage the website, create the newsletter, maintain the meeting list, and that's just a few of the coordinator positions. And the East Valley Information Center has monthly family recovery nights. Those take more hands and more people willing to help one night a month. So as the saying goes, many hands make light work, and I often marvel at the speed at which we accomplish cleanup after an event with like 200 people, and poof, it's all clean. So annually, the Arizona area hosts the Al-Anon Alateen Convention. I've been privileged to be on the convention committee twice, and I would really recommend participation on a convention committee. If you get asked, definitely say yes. It's a 1-year commitment with a chance to learn just an incredible amount of things about Al-Anon from the area alternate delegate and the other committee chairs. The work is very varied, The work is varied and it has a place for everybody's skill set. After the convention was over, I have to say I genuinely missed the monthly planning meetings. There were so many talented people there and I learned so much. The first time I was on the convention committee, Claudia M. was our alternate delegate. And at each monthly meeting, she shared thoughts about one of the 12 concepts of service, then led us in a discussion with some thought-provoking questions. I really hadn't been exposed to the concepts that way, so it was just one more opportunity to learn about Al-Anon's legacies, and it really gives me the chance to practice these principles in all my affairs. So I hope you can see how wonderful service can be, Al-Anon's amazing to be a part of, and I really thank you for the opportunity to share tonight. I also wish all of you lots of service opportunities in your future. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Diane. It was great. Please send any questions you have for Diane to our moderator, Mike. And let's take a moment now to thank all of our speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope by giving the American Sign Language clap, jazz hands. And now I will turn it over to our moderator, Mike, to use the rest of our time to get your questions answered.
Well, those were really great shares. And I want to thank you all so much for saying yes when you were asked to speak tonight on this topic. And so I do have some questions from the membership, and I'll let you know who the question is for. Or if it's open to all of you, and please keep your answers to about 2 minutes. I'll kind of give you a 30 second heads up, and so we can answer as many questions as possible. And the first question is for Beth. So Beth, if you'll unmute, and the question is, how do you get sponsees who may be resistant to do service? How do you have them get involved in service?
Good question. Basically, by example, you know, I almost never pass up the opportunity to share about how much service work has helped me in my own personal growth. You know, it's... to me, being in service one way or another and being in Al-Anon go hand in hand. I don't know any other way of doing it. You know, if I'm involved in something that I could use a hand, I ask, you know, you know, a lot of my service work right now involves hosting Zoom meetings, because I have taken two of the meetings in Yuma onto Zoom. Quite often, they're the ones that, if they're attending meetings I'm hosting, I'm going to ask them to read steps. I'm going to ask them to read traditions. I'm going to ask them to be the topic leader. I'm not particularly shy anymore in approaching somebody and being slightly naggy about, you know, I think you've got the time to do this. Why don't you step forward and help out? You know, it comes from being raised, I was raised to be a Jewish mother. So without children, I tend to mother my sponsees a little bit, and I am a little bit of a nag and have to work at keeping it under control. So that's it.
Thank you, Beth. Appreciate that. Let's see. We have another one. This is for Diane. Has service work helped you to detach from your son and his disease?
Absolutely. You know how they say when you get busy, you get better. It's the fact that I have something to concentrate on and do a good job at, and I don't have to think about him or worry about him. And so the tools in the program taught me how to not worry about him. And then being in service more allows me to just not even think about him. I mean, I can actually go for days and days and have him not pop into my mind, which to me, that's really good, because he's 32 years old, he's an adult, and he needs to figure this out on his own, and he has his own higher power that's gonna help him. Getting me out of that, where my life was entangled with his and my brain was entangled with him, was really critical. And I'm positive that because I got involved with service work right away, it just started pulling me away from him. So yes, definitely has helped me with detachment.
Great. Thank you, Diane. Mm-hmm. I have a question for Lori. Lori, if you want to unmute. Have you ever taken on a service position and had to step away? And what did you learn from that experience?
Actually, yes, I had to step away. What I was doing was I was chairing like 5 to 6 meetings a week. I was chair, and it was too much for me. And I could not focus. I could not find my higher power for a little while. I was really just lost. And what I learned from it is, you know, I've learned that I cannot do too much service because I need to have balance. And without balance, I'm no good for nobody, including myself. Sorry for the noise in the background. Someone's grabbing ice. That's a basic thing I learned from taking that little break I took, because I learned that I need to make time for my higher power every single day. More than 1 minute a day, you know, quite a while in a day. And when I was on that break, I was able to do that. And since then, since that 30-day break, I have only really been doing service, like, I've been, like, I'm doing, like, one meeting a week plus a couple of groups, like one of them with my sponsor and one with some other ladies, instead of being so busy on a constant basis. I have a few sponsees I still work with on other days, yes. But I'm more available to them emotionally than I was for a while. More emotionally available for my sponsees, more emotionally available for myself, more, you know, emotionally available for everyone. And that's what I learned, is by taking that break, I needed to become focused again, you know, and be able to, that helped me to be able to give back so freely again, because I was lost. I was so lost. I didn't even know how to give back anymore. And that's how bad it was, because I was doing too much, really. My biggest thing is I learned, I've made sure that my sponsees from that moment on has always been told, be careful of how much service you're doing. You got to keep time for you to be able to go to meetings. You got to be able to have time not to just chair a meeting, but to go to meetings, participate in the meeting, and be a part of and be in the circle, the center of the circle, instead of like doing your own thing and just thinking you got it all hooked up and you can do it, because it'll take and wear you down. And I think that's my biggest lesson, is I don't want wore down like that anymore. It doesn't help me to help others if I do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lori. The next question is for all of the speakers, and we'll start with Beth, and we'll give each of you some time to answer this. Can you describe a moment when you most had to summon courage when being of service? What Al-Anon tools do you use to find courage in service? So describing a moment when you most had to summon courage when being of service, and what Al-Anon tools did you use to find courage in service? And Beth, if you'll unmute first, and then we'll do Diane and then Lori.
The one that really sticks out in my head, I have participated for years as being a member of the Al-Anon committee, participating in the Yuma Roundup, AA Roundup. And all of a sudden, at the last minute, I realized that I was going to have to get up on stage and introduce the Al-Anon speaker. That year it was Claudia M. For some real reason, and I have no idea, I was almost paralyzed with fear about having to get up and introduce this woman who I have, at that point in time, I didn't know her very well, and I had been admiring her from afar at assemblies and whatnot, and to have to be the one to introduce her just freaked me out. I did the only thing I knew to do. I prayed to my higher power, you know, help me, you know, give me the words. And it went quite nicely. But I was absolutely paralyzed inside. Nobody could tell it on the outside that I had to introduce this woman that I admired so much to all these people. I think we had almost 300 people that year at the roundup. So that's it.
Great. Thank you, Beth. Diane, do you want to speak to that?
I have to admit, struggling with the question. One small idea has come to mind, but in preparing for tonight, I had trouble even with that topic because I'm kind of a bulldozer, and I don't really notice when I need courage. It's just kind of, you know. But the one thing that I had to do as District 13, we've been for like, I don't know, 5 years or so sponsoring the meal at the Winter Extravaganza, which is a huge event. It's like 200 or 300 people. We never know how many. There's no reservations. And it's totally outside my comfort zone. I know nothing about feeding hundreds of people. And so the first year that I was DR, it was perfect because the person who had cooked the meal the year before said, oh, I'll do it. And so she did everything. And so I still didn't learn what to do. And then the next year, that person never got back to me. And I emailed and I messaged on my phone and I kept hoping and praying that she would get back to me, and she didn't. And so then I just started talking to everybody else in the district at the district meetings, and, you know, trying to get ideas. What are we going to cook? How are we going to cook? How do you cook for a quantity like that? And I guess the tools is ask for help. You know that some trust that somebody else has the knowledge and the ability, and just kind of let go and let God, because God's going to take care of it. Every year they have that event, and every year they have food. So, you know, me getting all worried and fearful about it really didn't help in any way. And asking other people for help definitely was the way to go. That'll pass.
Thanks, Diane. Lori, would you like to answer that question for us, please?
Sure. Something happened between me and a sponsee a while back, and I look at service very much as sponsoring, and I, you know, that's my biggest thing right there. Is I had a sponsee, and I will just say her and I are just very, very close friends now. I am no longer sponsoring her because that was a choice that was made because of what happened. And what happened was I was not being a very loyal and faithful sponsor. I allowed my sponsee, I sugarcoated everything. I let her think that what she was doing or saying or how, whatever she was doing or how it was going, that she was doing the right thing. But I knew down deep inside it wasn't the right thing for Al-Anon. And out of the blue, I talked to another person, a really good friend of mine in the program. And she and I were talking on the phone, and that's when I realized that I was doing this. I did not even realize it. Anyway, I went to my sponsee at that time, and I sent her messages and let her know what I was doing was wrong. And she took it as I meant that I shouldn't be sponsoring her anymore. And that's okay, because it's better that we're friends, honestly. But what it took for me was talking to another party, another member of Al-Anon, talking to my higher power, because it took a lot of courage to send that message to my sponsee, and me being honest about it, me having to be really honest and tell her what I was doing wrong as a sponsor. Once I realized what I was doing, I learned a lot from it, and so has she. We are definitely better friends than we were sponsor sponsee. and I don't know, but I think she might still be in the room tonight. And, you know, I love her more, I think, because of how it all ended up happening and that we've been able to stay friends, really good friends since. And, you know, we still work with each other. We still talk to each other, you know, and it's amazing. It really is. But I'm glad that I went through that because it taught me what not to do with a sponsor or, I mean, in sponsor and sponsee relationships. You know, we don't come with a manual. A manual is not handed to us as a sponsor. Or if it is, it doesn't mean we really get it. You know, it depends on how long we've been here and how long we've worked our programs and all of that. So for me, I learned a valuable lesson. Don't sugarcoat nothing. That's like diluting the program. And I didn't want to dilute the program, so I stopped doing it and told her, I'm going to have to not do that with you anymore. And, you know, it's my best example for what happened. It couldn't have been another example. It just wouldn't have fit the situation that you're asking about. It took me a lot of courage to reach out to her and tell her the truth because I was afraid of losing her. That's why I didn't want to tell her, because I was afraid I was going to lose her in my life where she'd never talk to me again. And that was a big fear for me. It was very hard for me to summon the courage, but my higher power was right there. And I definitely reached out and asked for my higher power's help. I asked and I said my higher power's name. I said, please direct my thinking. Help me to deal with this in a proper manner. And I was able to do so. So, I mean, I know this program works if we work it. And I'm very grateful that I'm learning how to work it still. I'm not perfect. I'm human. I make mistakes. And thank God she forgave me for that mistake. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. I've asked Cindy M. to speak for 2 minutes on our topic tonight, lessons in courage, or whatever else has moved her tonight and what she's heard. So, Cindy, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Mike. Hi, my name is Cindy, grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon, which includes Alateen. And I was going to talk about participation and service in my recovery. I would like to share that my very first meeting I went to, my husband was in rehab and my sister dropped me off at a meeting because he had our only working car at the time. And I went to a beginner's meeting and then they invited me to stay for the regular meeting. And during announcements, a woman got up and she had an envelope and it was full of little slips of paper with three names and phone numbers of people that she was needing help. She was asking for help. She wanted people to help her call these people because they had volunteered to bring something to the hospitality suite at the convention that was happening the next week. Now, I didn't know anything about a convention. I didn't know what a hospitality suite was. I knew nothing. And so I was going to just take the envelope and pass it on. And the lady sitting next to me poked me with her elbow. And she said, take one, honey. It'll be good for you. And boy, was she right. You know, participation is the key to harmony. Of course, but only when asked to participate. Because I know I was participating in my husband's life and I wasn't asked to participate. I've participated in my grown son's lives and I wasn't asked to participate. So participation is the key to harmony, but only when asked to participate. Anyways, that service was that beginning. I called three people that week and talked to three very nice people. And that was the beginning of my service. And the other thing I wanted to read was out of for today. My Al-Anon birthday is January 28th. And the only reason I know that is my first sponsor helped me figure that out because she said I should know the day that my life changed. And on January 28th, it's talking about service, and it's got a new acronym for definition for the acronym ODAT. It talks about, it says, I do what is in my power to do. I am given the opportunity, desire, ability, and time to do whatever God assigns me one day at a time. So there's lots of opportunities out there, We have to figure out what our desires are, our abilities, and how much time we have to give, and then we can be of service in whatever way we see fit. So, you know, for me, I became a GR because it got me out of the house. I don't really recommend that, but, you know, that's what I did. That's what worked for me. And it got me out when my grown son was in juvenile prison. Going back into service with Alateen helped me get out of myself. So for me, service is gratitude in action or love in action. And I'll just end there. Thanks to all the speakers. This is amazing. And I'm looking forward to more. Thanks.
Thank you, Cindy. This is another question for all of the speakers. And this time we'll start with Diane, and then we'll go to Lori, and then Beth. And the question is, what is the most important thing you learned about yourself when working with groups?
That I have a very high fear of conflict, and that any little bit of a disagreement makes me think there's huge conflict and the world's going to end. And so I'm not sure where that comes from, that level of fear of conflict, but I know I was always an avoidance person, you know, in the workplace, and I always had jobs where I had to deal with a lot of conflict, and I always hated it. And so what I've learned in Al-Anon is I just have to breathe a lot more and not make mountains out of molehills, and try to listen more carefully. I think this program has definitely taught me how to listen and how, you know, to be present and listen and clarify, and it's just so valuable how seeing that behavior, especially, it was especially evident the first time I was GR. Oh my goodness, I left those business meetings crying so often. And it was all because I just didn't know how to deal with conflict. That really wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything really bad. But anytime I felt like there was conflict, I thought it was really bad. I thought it was horrible and the world was gonna end. And I've learned how to listen and not react that way. So Al-Anon gives me the ability to reasonably make a decision on how I'm going to act and respond rather than in the instant reacting. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Thanks for the question.
Thanks, Diane. Lori, if you'd like to unmute yourself, and what is the most important thing you learned about yourself when working with groups?
Wow, that's a really good question, honestly. I think that would have to be about the 780 group one that I'm involved in. That has been the most trying thing for me, has been being a founder and working with a bunch of us that are all in the same program, because we're in different levels of recovery, and it makes it really hard. I mean, I'm way back here and they're way up there. I mean, there's like someone in there with, I think, 30 years as one of the founders. That makes it hard because, you know, I'm still in the process of learning a lot of things. I'm learning. I'm still teachable, but it makes it kind of hard. So I really don't know. And I think the most important part, was that the question, was the most important part?
What's the most important thing you learned about yourself when working with groups?
Okay. I think really that I'm still teachable is one of the big things for me, is, and that I can learn. I mean, I had a stroke a few years ago, and when I came home from that situation, from the hospital, I couldn't read and write at all. I could not. I was reading like I had dyslexia, and I didn't tell a soul. And I forced myself every day to read and read and read and read anything I could get my eyeballs on, literally. because I was really a good reader and a good speller and stuff. So to be teachable today, for me to be able to say and know that I'm teachable is a huge thing for me. I mean, it wasn't for like 3 years. I even told my kids I wasn't able to read and write when I came home. Teachable, I think, is a huge one. Being able to learn how to get along with each other, in whoever, all the group, the whole group, being able to get along with everyone or the best of my ability to try to. Learning how to do that has been big, a big deal for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Okay, Beth, what is the most important thing you learned about yourself when working with groups? And go ahead and unmute yourself.
I think it has to do, participation is the key to harmony. How extremely important it is to me that I know that I am heard and that others are willing to participate with me. It's just really a very, very strong need in me to have that acknowledgement from others that they can hear me, that they can see me. And that's a really big piece for me in finding any kind of balance. I just have this absolute need to know that I'm heard. And you know, you don't have to agree with me. You know, I am now capable of having disagreement and saying, okay, yeah, that's your opinion, that's fine. But I have to know that you hear me. And yeah, it's just a fundamental piece of my makeup. And I have to realize that a lot of times that's what drives me.
Great. Thank you, Beth. I have a question for Diane. Did asking for help and service have an impact on your ability to accept help from others?
That's a great question. Absolutely, yes. And I have a really neat story. So I kind of learned that you just offer to help anytime. And I was at one of the Al-Anon conventions, and there was a gentleman, and it was somebody I knew from a meeting, and I went up and I said, hey, do you need help? Because I saw him moving chairs and I figured he was busy and needed some help. And so he said, sure, here, carry this chair. You know, so I took the chair that he was carrying and followed him out. Then he said, yeah, just put it right there. And I sat it down, and I was like, you didn't really need my help, huh? And he said, no. However, if anyone ever offers to help, I know that their higher power put that on their heart, and therefore I should always take the help I'm being offered. And that was such a big aha for me, because I had never thought about it that way. I was always one of those people, I don't want to ask for help, and I don't want anybody to offer help because I don't need your help, you know, trying to be independent or whatever. And the really cool thing that happened right after that is my dad was very resistant to getting help caring for my mother who had Alzheimer's. And every time we would try to help with anything, he would just be like, oh, well, you know. And so when I had that story, when I was able to come to him and tell him what had just happened to me, and that this man turned around and said, well, I figure your higher power told you you need to help, so therefore I'm going to let you help. When I told him that story, that was it. From there forward, he's let my sister and I help with everything. It was like it made him understand that each of us has things to give, and it's a give and take, and you know, God's in all of it. So thanks for the question.
Thank you, Diane. We have another 2-minute speaker. Sonia is going to speak to us on lessons in courage. And I do want to just put in a little plug for Sonia. She is the District 5 DR, and District 5 has been instrumental in leading, providing the leadership for this workshop. And we are so proud to have District 5 in our Southern Arizona AIS. So Sonia, if you want to share for a couple of minutes, that'd be great. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Sonia, a grateful member of Al-Anon. And for me, I think service initially was just being involved. It was avoiding the chair that had to speak the longest step because I didn't like to read out loud and I was scared of making mistakes. So then it got to where I didn't pay attention to what chair I sat in. Then it got to where I could actually maybe chair a meeting. And, we're talking back when we did set up chairs and clean up the ashtrays, and we had a club with a kitchen and they did breakfast, and it was a big family thing. It was really cool. So that's how I started getting involved, but that's only involved. We moved a lot after starting recovery. So I never really got involved beyond the group. And actually, I wouldn't even say the group. I would say beyond the meeting. And then I landed a few times a little bit longer in other places. And then I would get involved and be a group rep. If the rotation landed when I was there, I'd be a group rep and get involved at district. And then we ended up, long story here. And now I'm actually committed. And committed for me is I feel like I have some ownership. I have a family that I'm involved in. I have some accountability. I have people that I can ask for help. I have people who ask me for help. So it's, and I have to remember, I was the person that was scared to sit next to the guy reading the steps, because if I had to read the long one, I'd skip over it. And so I was a shy, and I'm not shy. I guess I still am shy. I warm up to people, and I'm kind of one of those slow ones. But then once you get me, forget it. If I've had coffee, and you can't stop me. But now I'm really involved. I became an EMEAS and a co-sponsor, and I really love doing that. And I'm working with public outreach and getting our district. I'm just amazed at the people in our district and what they're willing to do, and just all the things that are happening. And then I got involved in area beyond the district, and getting involved in learning about KBDM and task force, thought force, committees, and that. And I'm seeing that I may think I know something, but when I'm with other people and I'm listening, I learn a lot. And we as a group come up with an output that is so much better than each one of us could do individually. And I just need to let that happen. And that's the part of me that I've learned, is that I have to let that part step back. The bulldozer, I love that term, because I could just bulldoze things through and say, I know how to do this. But if I sit back and listen and let others engage, it becomes such a better thing than what I would have come up with on my own. I love throwing out ideas and being part of a team. And I think that's, really what I've learned, is that the courage to ask, you know, can I get involved? Do you need help? And then be able to answer help as well. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sonia. And thank you once again to District 5 for all the work you've done to put this workshop together. Hey, great questions tonight. Some very insightful answers. We only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to turn it back over to our chairperson, Kay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Let's thank our panelists again for doing a great job. And thanks to everyone who took a part in the meeting. Thank you all for coming. We will have 3 more speakers on this topic on Saturday, October 17th at 10 a.m. Phoenix, Arizona time. We hope to see you all there for some more great perspectives on how to let it begin with me, a lesson in courage, and turbocharge your recovery. We'll now close with the Al-Anon Declaration. Let it begin with me.
With me.
Or anyone.
Anyone.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Reaches out.
Reaches out. Out.
Let the hand of Al-Anon always be there. And let it begin with me.
Me.
Thank you.